Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Oh my goodness, and we are your hosts this morning. Ooh, wake up. Oh, isn't it fabulous to be alive?
Yes.
I am so grateful.
And it's your birthday today, Cynthia.
Yes,
Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Yes, it is. And I'm telling you, I'm so grateful to have seen another year on planet Earth. To have another year to share this wonderful life with you, Dr. Reggie.
Oh, and you all, and everybody.
Yeah.
That's true.
I love you.
I love you too. My birthday, girl.
Oh, wow. Well, we are continuing this journey into understanding the Ascension as we do a book study of the complete Ascension Manual, How to Achieve Ascension in This Lifetime by Joshua David Stone. We're at the very beginning. So, you know, I encourage you to talk to your friends, say, oh my God, you know, we're learning about ascension and evolving in our soul. And have them join in with us and go back and listen to the archives. That's one thing I love about being on Blog Talk Radio. We have a wonderful collection of archives. So if they missed, or if you have missed any part of this study, you can always go back and listen to it and share the archives. If something hits you and you think it will minister to your friends, share the link with them, okay? It's all free. It's all good. I love it. I really appreciate it. So, Dr. Benji, are you enjoying this?
I really am, because it marks a precedent of who we are and our true identity as just not people walking around in flesh suits with blood and bone. We are way more, much more. And it talks about the soul and how to keep the soul in alignment with the power and the magnitude of God and the process of ascension. I love it.
I really do too.
I think it's great.
I don't know about anyone else, but I, as I'm going, you know, these past few books, actually, the first book that we went through, which was Soul Psychology, and now we're going through this one, I have just had a deeper understanding of who I really am in terms of spirit. The Bible tells us that we are spirit first. We are spirit first. And that's the last thing we think about understanding.
I know. It's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And so, and now, he started this book from the creation story so that we are very, very clear about who we are. And then there's a hierarchy in our development, and he has laid that down. So now where we are, we're talking about the initiation. And how would you define initiations, Reggie?
I think when you're getting to a process of something, before you go to any other level, you have to be prepared. Initiation is a preparing of the next developmental level. When you get initiated, it also bonds you with the thing you're trying to be initiated into. So it's a very powerful energy about how you become initiated. And it's a doorway. It's the next step or the first step to becoming a master of yourself.
That's the word that is so powerful, becoming a master of self, that's a powerful statement. So where we are right now in the book, yes, I want to tell you, we are dealing with the initiation. And we started yesterday with the first initiation and the second initiation and the third initiation. I don't know if we got through all of the third, but we're definitely, there's the fourth and the fifth, and then we're going to deal with the sixth. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our opening prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank and bless all the listeners, even ourselves, on this blessed day. We thank you for the power of life and love. And we are always being initiated into the higher self at some level. I thank you for letting Cynthia have a birthday, the stars that got together and aligned for her to be born on planet Earth and come into being and having a remarkable life and helping other people to enjoy their own life. But we never look at our birthdays as something making us older. It makes us grow in soul. We are eternal beings. Let us learn to love and live and to laugh, even in the face of danger. What we think may be a perceived danger or something that's perceived as negative, we know that you are with us all the time. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death, and we fear nothing. We have no fear, no thing is being feared. When you have love, it casts out all fear. And I thank you for the power of real love, which is you embodied in each soul on earth. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. You know, as we talk about the soul, Dr. Reggie, you brought something up in your prayer. As we really understand the evolution of the soul, it makes you look at birthdays very differently.
It really does. It's not just that, because you're born from, you never were born and you never will die.
Ah.
And so we look at it that way. People live in their bodies for a long time. When they know that people in the Himalayas and people in China, some people live to be way past 100 and they're working and active and thinking because they don't have the deathist mentality that they have here.
Mm-hmm.
And get that over. I'm getting old and you can't do that.
No, I'm seasoned. Okay, so let's just kind of roll back a little bit. I'm going to go through the third initiation again. I think we covered it yesterday. But so he said that the third initiation has to do with developing self-mastery over the mental body,
right,
and hence over the threefold personality. This initiation is also referred to as the soul merge. It is at this initiation that the disciple becomes blended and merged with the higher self and becomes a soul-infused personality.
Mm.
The entire personality becomes flooded with light from above. The disciple is no longer controlled by the lower mind or desire.
Right.
The personality vibrations are of a very high order. The initiation is considered the first major initiation. The mind is responsive primarily to ideas and intuitions and impulses that are coming from the soul. And the disciple is receiving these energies from the soul, the ashram to which he or she belongs, and from the spiritual hierarchy itself. So accumulation of knowledge is unbelievably rapid. And energies from the causal body become available to the disciple. The physical body is now made up of 3/4 atomic matter. The disciple begins receiving direct guidance from the monad, whereas up to this point in the disciple's invitation, all guidance was received only from the soul, who has been functioning as the intermediary between the incarnate personality and the monad, or the Father in heaven. And as this initiation develops, moves forward, the disciple has mastered the ability to manipulate thought matter and has learned the laws of creative thought building. And this initiation in the life of Jesus is referred to as the transfiguration. The third eye is the chakra that has been stimulated at this initiation. And Sanat Kumara is the Hierophant. So at each initiation, this disciple has become polarized to a higher level. And at the first initiation, the disciple was polarized in the physical body. At the second initiation, the disciple became polarized in the astral and emotional body. And this third initiation, the disciple has become polarized into the mental body. And so after this initiation, the disciple has mastered theoretically and practically the laws of his own nature. The matter in the three bodies has become relatively pure. The soul itself now assumes the dominant position, not the material world, and a terrific voltage of spiritual energy is passed through the initiate at this initiation under the direction of the planetary logos. The rod is used as the transferring agent in initiation and is held by Sanat Kumar.
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Ooh, to be in that stage, right? That's just the third initiation. What do we have to look forward to? And the fourth, fifth, and sixth. The fourth initiation is referred to as the renunciation, or the initiation of crucifixion. It has to do with freedom from all of self-interest and the renouncing of the personal life in the interest of a larger whole. So even self-consciousness ceases to be of importance, and a more universal awareness, one closer to that of spirit, it takes place. The life of the person taking the fourth initiation is usually one of great sacrifice and sometimes their suffering. The initiate has laid all, even his perfected personality, upon the altar of sacrifice. All is renounced: friends, money, reputation, character, standing in the world, family, and even life itself. In passing the fourth initiation, one has achieved liberation from the wheel of rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
It is at this initiation that the causal body or the soul body is burned up and the soul emerges back into the monad. The initiate's main source of guidance from this point forward is the monad, or the I am present.
Mm-hmm.
The soul, who has been the intermediary between the incarnated personality and the monad, is no longer needed. And at the fourth initiation, the initiate is considered a master of wisdom and a lord of compassion. The initiate is no longer a soul that's in prison. He has been lifted out of the three lower worlds. The initiate now works from above, downward, in service of the divine plan. The personality life of the soul through all its incarnations, that's over. The initiate is fully using the Buddhic vehicle and is operating on the Buddhic plane of consciousness and is totally liberated. And any future contact with the material world is totally voluntary. The initiate has become an unchanging permanent member of the spiritual hierarchy and the fifth kingdom. The initiate has turned his back on the physical material world for eternity, except for voluntary service.
It's amazing to me. People think, I think about that, are people who were living in this time, in the 20th century, actually before 21st century. Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, people gave up everything to serve humanity, to serve mankind. They never took money for this. They built foundations to help others, and that's amazing to me. It really is.
Right.
And Jesus did it first or foremost. Me, throughout, a lot of people gave it up.
You know, a fourth level initiate is admitted into closer fellowship within the lodge. He is rapidly exhausting all resources in the Hall of Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the initiate can contact his monad with more freedom,
yes,
than the majority of the population can contact their soul. Energies of the initiate soul group become available for use for the good of planetary evolution. What a promotion this is.
It is.
What I think I'm so taken aback is the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he talks about something called the Antakarana. The Antakarana is spelled Antakarana. He says it's like a rainbow bridge. And that has been successfully completed to the soul, the spiritual triad, and the monad. The three lower centers reach a point of utter purification with no energy of selfishness. The initiate is guided by intuition, pure reason,
mm-hmm,
and complete knowledge, illumined by love. The fifth initiation usually follows closely upon the fourth initiation, and the initiate has completely crucified his lower nature. All knowledge, science, wisdom, and experience gathered in all past lives are now in possession of the spiritual man or woman. Jesus Christ took his fourth initiation upon the cross when he was crucified. Lord Maitreya, who overshadowed Jesus and in a sense shared his body during the last 3 years of his life, took his sixth initiation or ascension. So they did it simultaneously. Another interesting point that Washkul has made in the Alice Bailey book is that when Jesus made that famous statement, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" what he was experiencing was his soul merging back into the monad. He was experiencing the loss of his soul as his guide, for it was now time to get his guidance directly from the Father,
mm-hmm,
or the monad, or the I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical body is now made 100% atomic matter. The initiate who passes the fourth initiation is referred to as an arhat. And there is no pain or suffering for the master who has attained liberation. Whoa. All I can say is whoa.
I know.
Let's move into the fifth initiation. Listen, if any of you guys have any questions or comments as we move through this, please
press one,
because I know that this is kind of technical stuff, and I really want you to understand it. So I have no problem stopping, and Dr. Reggie is extremely knowledgeable. He'll connect the dots for you. So please participate, okay? I am not skipping any part of this foundational work. It's
mm-hmm.
important for you
yeah.
to understand the foundational work. So if you can't, if it's too early in the morning for you to deal with it, go back and listen to the archive, because this is just important. The fifth initiation has to do with the monadic merger, whereas the third initiation had to do with the merging of one soul or of the higher self. The fifth initiation has to do with the merging or with merging one's consciousness with one's monad and spirit. It has to do with freedom from blindness, a liberation that enables the initiate to see a new vision. The initiation has been referred to as the revelation or resurrection in Christian terminology. A master of the fifth initiation is referred to as an adept. The fifth initiation is the first cosmic initiation. You know, I find this very interesting. You know, we talk about the Master Jesus, and we don't even realize how he became the Master. And now he's laying the foundation for us to talk. And we've talked about adepts. And now you know why they are called adepts and what they have gone through in order to become an adept. Isn't that, you know, I just dawned on me. I knew that it was a higher level and I knew that it was a hierarchy, but I never understood all of the changes that they had to go through in order to earn it. This is like going to college and getting a bachelor's degree and then a master's and then a PhD. Mm-hmm. That's why I said I am not going to stop or cut any of this, because when you know what the path is, then you can clearly start making the steps to move in the direction. So the fifth initiation has to do with freedom from blindness, and it's merging the soul or your consciousness with your monad and your spirit. So the initiation has been referred to as the revelation of the resurrection. A master of the fifth initiation is referred to as an adept. The fifth initiation is the first cosmic initiation. It is a merger with the atmic plane rather than the Buddhic plane of the fourth initiation. And the majority of masters working with humanity preserve the body in which they took the fifth initiation, or they can build and manifest a new body. Going back to the Toth material, the Emerald Tablet, he talks about that state where he rejuvenates the body.
Yeah.
So that he can continue to do the work on the physical plane. He had a lot of work to do, and he was here for thousands of years after the destruction of Atlantis to pass on all this knowledge. This initiation, Dwajkul was a fifth degree initiate while writing most of the Alice Bailey book, and he ascended in that lifetime. He preserved the body known as Dwajkul. Kuthumi, Dwajkul's teacher, chose to build a new one. Okay, so to achieve the sixth initiation, the adept must take a very intensive course in planetary occultism. I love it because I'm thinking about people that go through your mystery school. A number of people have attempted to go through Dr. Reggie's mystery school. And one of the things that you have to study, you study different religions in the beginning to understand really just our relationship and how religion comes about and all. And so Dr. Reggie takes them through earth-based religion, and he gets to Wicca, which some people call witchcraft, but he gets to Wicca and people run from that class. It is so funny. He will lose half the class when it comes to Wicca because of fear.
And what Hollywood has done to people.
Yeah.
And it's sad because Wicca is not witchcraft.
It's
an abridgment of witchcraft. But witchcraft is a real, can be either good or bad or how you look at it, to cause people harm. And Wicca says, harm you none, don't harm anybody. Ascend, learn to grow in white magic, even what Jesus did. So learn to grow in that planetary configuration of white magic. using the earth and the elements of earth, air, fire, and water under your rule, because the Bible says you control those, and
that's
you do.
That's right.
And people get freaked out and they run.
So I'm looking at this. Here you are. You have to be, you're at your fifth initiation and going into your sixth initiation, and you have to really understand planetary occultism. Now, do you think, how many people are going to run at that point?
Some of them do. I teach also galactic occultism as well as planetary and earth-based, and they get real freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't when it comes to that, because it's an inner fear that's embedded in their consciousness from watching too much TV and being too much involved in the Hollywood
being
situation.
Influenced.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so here's how he closes out this chapter. He says, this book, in combination with meditation and your own work that you do in life, can allow you to fulfill that requirement while you sleep. This book is an intensive course in planetary occultism. The energy of the fifth initiation allows for the energies of the planet to be made available for the adepts or for world servants. The first chakra is the one stimulated at this initiation. The adept fully realizes that the statement, I and my father are one. I and my father are one. That scripture should have a whole new meaning for you now. Now that you understand who you really are. The adept body is a body of light. In essence, the man or woman has achieved a perfected state. And it couldn't be any easier, because he says you can do this while you are asleep. Okay, we're going to move into the fourth chapter, and we're going to talk about the ascension, which is the sixth initiation. Woo! Okay. Be ye faithful unto death, be ye faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Mm.
That comes from the Master Jesus. Be ye faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The sixth initiation is the achievement of one's ascension, becoming an ascended master. In essence, the initiation occurs when the adept and the light of the monad merge on the physical plane. The adept's entire being, including the physical body and clothes, is turned into light. The physical body just disappears and is replaced by the light body. In the past, ascension meant passing on to the spiritual world. However, there is a new thrust of the spiritual hierarchy to have ascended masters remain on earth and continue their service. There also has been a recent dispensation that has made ascension a little bit easier, in that it is no longer necessary to take along the physical body when one ascends. This is the choice of the adept. Ascension is the attainment of the Christ. It is becoming a perfected Buddha. It is becoming a full-fledged spiritual master and realized being, not just a soul realized being. So the law of karma no longer has any hold over the ascended master. And the adept is completely merged with the monadic plane of consciousness. When a person ascends, he fully inhabits his light body or her light body. The light body is a body that is created from the light a person has manifested throughout all his incarnations. It is the body the ascended master travels in from that time forward. To ascend, an adept needs to balance 51% of his karma from all of his previous incarnations. Most people have an average of 200 to 250 past lives. So another requirement for ascension is that a person complete his dharma or his mission on planet Earth. The consciousness of ascension is that of total joy, total unconditional love.
Yes.
And the complete full recognition and realization that you are God. And everyone else you meet is God walking on earth. Breathe. I know you're hungry for this. It is also an ability to express on any plane of consciousness at any time, not just the physical plane. Ascension is the ability to materialize and dematerialize oneself at will.
Amen.
It is the ability to materialize what is needed and desired instantly. Ascension is a feeling of oneness at all times with God and one's brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a consciousness of being a world server. It is the power to command one's life to be as one desires it by the power of one's word. It is the ability to bilocate and achieve physical immortality. There are great stories of ascended masters, such as Saint Germain, who lived for 350 years, and Hermes Taub in Egypt, who lived for over 2,000 years in a physical body.
True.
It is also important to realize that we on Earth now are ascending or descending every day. Every thought we think, every word that we speak, every action we take, the food we eat, how we spend our time, everything is either raising or lowering our vibration.
Amen.
Ascension is a very natural occurrence. It's nothing, as a matter of fact, it's supernatural. Okay? And that we all will ultimately achieve, it is just a matter of time. The idea here is to shorten the need for time and hence future incarnations by applying and focusing our energies now on our spiritual growth as our only purpose for being here.
Right.
The negative ego will try to take us on an illusionary and glamorous side roads, which are not where we really want to go. One more very important point to understand in this process that we call ascension. In truth, there is no such thing as time or space. There is an aspect of each of us that has already ascended. One of the keys to accelerating our own ascension process is to call this fifth dimensional ascended self back into the present and have him or her blend with our auras. And this will help to raise our vibrations up to their already ascended level. So the spiritual body is already doing the work on those ascended levels and is patiently waiting for the rest of the six bodies to catch up with its vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to blend with us here in the eternal now, but must be asked to do so, for that is cosmic law.
Wow.
Oh, my God, Dr. Rachel.
Wow.
This almost moves me to tears. It's such a beautiful thing.
It is.
And when you think of people, souls that come back into your life, you never know. My mother used to say, Be kind to everyone, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. And when you think of spirits, souls that come into your life, and they may be from your monadic family to help you ascend. And sometimes you lash out at them. You never and think about some people that you've been very attached to and you didn't understand why, and that they've guided you and helped you to another level. Oh, they were your angels, weren't they?
Part of the monadic family.
And what a sacrifice to come back into the physical body.
Exactly.
And on this planet to help others ascend.
Indeed.
Now, when I think about it, I just get so touched, because I know that I've had that happen to me.
I believe that.
I can tell you, you do feel that it's an angel that has come to save you, to help you. It's a wonderful thing. And it's a huge sacrifice for them, because they're in total bliss. And then they have to take on physical form and go through all the craziness on planet Earth in physical reality.
And pain
and suffering. But they do this out of great love for you.
Indeed.
So let me tell you, be grateful. Be very grateful for the souls that come to help you. Pray for them and thank them and bless them. The relationship to ascension of the monad, the soul, and the personality. The relationship to ascension of the monad, the soul, and the personality. As the disciple develops on the path of initiation, the soul begins to focus its consciousness and energies on the soul extensions that are most highly developed spiritually. Remember that you have soul extension. As I mentioned in a previous chapter, the soul begins to call back the soul extensions that are less active and focuses all of its energy and resources on the spiritually active ones. So in my case, and this is, he's talking about, this is Joshua, not me, Cynthia. In Joshua Stone's case, he had four soul extensions that were still in incarnation. And what I have been told, or what he was told, is that the soul chooses one soul extension out of the 12 soul extensions in the soul group with which to achieve ascension. So in other words, only one soul extension can achieve ascension for this soul group. And all 12 soul extensions do not have to ascend. When one soul extension ascends, he or she does it for all 12. So there is no competition. The 11 other soul extensions ascend also. You're taking your brothers and sisters with you. I have been told that, and he's saying that, I have been chosen by my soul and monad as the soul extension to ascend for the group if I would like to do this. I have agreed to this arrangement. When it is a sure thing that I will ascend, my monad will pull up the other soul extensions, and they will channel their resources and energies toward helping me ascend for the group. Ascension is a very, very uplifting effect on the other 144 soul extensions of one's monadic group. However, only the soul extensions of one soul's group receive the full benefit of the ascension. So now, I have also been told that there is such a thing as a short path of ascension. It is not a complete ascension, as I have just explained above, but what happens on the short path of ascension is that the soul extension ascends alone and not with the 11 other soul extensions. In other words, the 11 other soul extensions can remain in incarnation and do not ascend when one of the soul extensions does. By Weymouth has spoken of two periods in Earth history when mass ascension occurred. He referred to these periods as in Earth's history as times of spiritual harvesting. By Weymouth says that we are again approaching a spiritual harvesting time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This has to do with the planetary logos. In his cosmic evolution, he has reached another plateau. And this is, he's talking about Sanat Kumara, the master Sanat Kumara. Each time he reaches one of these plateaus, it is time for harvesting or mass ascension. We are currently completing a 6,000-year cycle,
mm-hmm.
a 12,000-year cycle, and a 36,000-year cycle. And each time two or more cycles come together, that period is extremely important in Earth's history. We are in that period right now. The actual cutting of the wheat occurs within a few years' time. And this harvesting period is approximately 100 years. The end of this cycle is 1995 to the year 2000. Sanat Kumara is the overseer of the ascension ceremony. One of the questions that I asked was whether marriage partners ever ascend at the same time or the same moment. And Dwash Kool told me that this was very rare, but has occasionally happened. When a person is ready to ascend, there is no waiting or stopping the process.
Mm-hmm.
So after ascension, we are no longer under the jurisdiction of the spiritual hierarchy, but we are transferred to the jurisdiction of Shambhala. And once ascended, the adepts stay entirely free and liberated from all aspects of planetary karma. Before making our final decision about which of the seven paths to higher evolution we take, there is a meeting of all 6-degree initiates. At this meeting, we are asked to decide the measures the hierarchy should take that will drastically and permanently affect the planet. The ascended masters are the group that makes the final decision in respect to human affairs, but they are the spiritual government for this planet. In a later chapter, we will discuss the 22 chakras that make up our entire being, which we've already covered, but we're going to cover it again from the perspective of this book. And the 22 chakras include the common seven that we know about, plus an additional fourth and fifth dimensional chakras that most people don't know about. And at the time of ascension, the 16th chakra has descended down into the crown chakra. And the 15th has moved into the third eye chakra. And the 14th into the throat chakra. And so on, all the way down. So at the time of ascension, the fourth dimensional chakras have been mastered and completed. We're going to pick up this lesson tomorrow.
Mark it.
Dr. Rich said, mark where we left off, because this is getting good. We're talking about that sixth ascension and how powerful it is. It's very, very in-depth.
Okay.
And then we're going to have Dr. Rich now take us into our closing prayer.
I want to say, first of all, on behalf of me and everybody listening, happy birthday, Cynthia, today.
Thank you.
I know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful ascension for you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. All of us walk the path of the Holy Spirit, who leads us to our ultimate ascension, back into thy kingdom. We thank you for learning and for the knowledge that's here as we go through planetary and personal ascension. We are blessed by you and watched over by angels, and we thank you for this process. That everything we do is being monitored by the subconscious and leading us to a superconscious life that Jesus led. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. You guys have a great, blessed day. We love you.